The MD Anderson Leukemia Department evaluates an amazing 35 new patients a week, and I met with Dr. Hagop Kantarjian, who leads this department, and we began our conversation by chatting about CML.
There's a lot of progress in chronic myeloid leukemia. As you know, the first drug which was approved for the treatment of CML is imatinib, and this is a drug that has sustained very good responses. So now we have a follow-up of about 7 to 8 years with imatinib in patients with newly diagnosed CML. And what we see is durability of the responses. So at 5 years, about 70% of the patients continue to be in a complete cytogenetic response, which is a surrogate endpoint for good survival. And about 85 to 90% of the patients are still alive and doing well. There is about 15% of the patients who died, but half of them are dying from non-CML-related complications, so like old age and others. So really, the CML-related mortality is about 1% per year. So looking at this perspective, the median lifespan of those patients is going to extend to about 25 to 30 years. So the issues that are coming now is, one, can we stop therapy? And so we're working on immune stimulation of the host with either vaccines or with an old drug called Pegasus, which is a long-acting interferon that we think could stimulate the immune system. So one of the most important issues is discontinuation of therapy, because otherwise patients are going to take the drug for a lifetime, like they take medications for hypertension or diabetes and others. The other issue that is coming to be a significant issue is pregnancy in women, because a lot of these women are young and would like to stop therapy to be able to have babies. We do know that among most of the pregnancies that resulted in deliveries in women who became pregnant but stopped therapy result in normal babies. But there's a recent publication about 3 babies that had malformations that look syndromic. So they have skeletal and kidney malformations and eye malformations. So we do believe now that we cannot recommend that women who are taking imatinib could have a safe pregnancy. We always instruct them to stop therapy. And you cannot stop therapy unless they are in a good, complete molecular response for a while. Now, the second question is resistance to imatinib. So that's happening at about 4% per year. And there are several new generation tyrosine kinase inhibitors that are more potent than imatinib. Some of them are pure BCR-ABL inhibitors, just like imatinib. So one of them is nilotinib. It's FDA approved. And it is resulting in very good results in patients who have failed imatinib therapy. So among such patients, about 50% re-achieve a complete cytogenetic response. And their 2-year survival rate is about 90%+. So these are very good results. A second drug, which is also FDA approved, is dasatinib. This is a dual SARC-ABL inhibitor. Again, very similar results to nilotinib in terms of a complete cytogenetic response rate of about 60% and an estimated 2-year survival rate of 90%. There's a third drug which is similar to dasatinib called SKI-606, and this is a drug that does not cause pleural effusions or myelosuppression because it does not target PDGF and c-KIT. This drug is still ongoing with the trials, and so we're hoping that it may get approval in a couple of years. Now, one last issue is whether any of those new generation tyrosine kinase inhibitors could move to frontline therapy. And my estimate is that the results with imatinib are so good that it's going to be very hard to beat those results. It will take large randomized trials with a follow-up of 5 to 7 years. So I think imatinib is well established as frontline therapy.